certainly good admonishment and exhortation to pray. And one of my prayers is that the Lord bless me to pray and not as I'm praying think to myself, well, this ain't going to happen. We pray expecting it to be answered. Or that he, in his bountiful grace, blesses us with even more than we can imagine in that answer to that prayer. I'm going to go to 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, second chapter, and hope to bring some thoughts out here. The Lord blesses us. Let me go to about the 17th verse of that second chapter of 1 Peter, and I'll read that one sentence and then get into the several scriptures that are on my mind. Honor all men. Love thy brotherhood. Love thee, brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Several things right there in that sentence, but he transitions into something in the 18th and 19th verse, and then actually there's several dividing lines here on thoughts. In the 18th verse, he says, Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So he's specifically, that's very specific. He's talking to servants here that have masters. And we know that slavery was in effect even way back then. Go back to Old Testament times, of course. So he's speaking to this point here, but be subject to your masters. And not only, it's easy to be subject to your masters if they are good and gentle. That's easy enough. I think about if I have any masters besides at home, at work, I think of a boss or a manager or somewhere, and I'm kind of a servant to them and to whoever we in application development and IT, we support users. So we have a lot of masters in there. And you're to be subject to those. But those that are good and gentle, I've been blessed. I think I've mentioned my manager, how kind-hearted and relaxed and kind that he is and all. And all of mine have not been that way. And so that just has not always been good in all the years that I've needed to work, but so that's easy to be subject to them. But he says, but also to the froward, that means to the untoward, to the crooked. In fact, this word froward there, the Greek word here is scolios. Now you might think of scoliosis. It's crooked, that condition and all. And I'll mention this in trying not to make assumptions on the knowledge base of anyone and all. Maybe just about every sermon, I either speak to. I mean, obviously our Bible is in English. It is the King James translation. And it's been translated to English, the New Testament, from Greek. That's why we mention, the Greek word behind that English word right there, it means this, and we bring out more. Because this was Greek. And English words do not have the full meaning, the full picture, as the Greek. Old Testament, it wasn't Greek, it was Hebrew. Hebrew to English. And so that's why preachers get up and talk about, this word in the Greek it's this word or that meaning and so forth, and because it brings out so much more, the meaning there, it does. Just throw that in there. But so, not only to the good, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So now he's talking about these servants subject to being subject to their masters, but many times suffer, they endure grief or suffer wrongfully. And yet it's for if a man for conscience toward God, they do that. They endure that. It's their conscience toward God. Now, if they have a conscience toward God, it goes without saying we're talking about children of God here. Not only children of God, but born-again children of God. They have that. Baptism in water is the answer of a good conscience toward God. That was already, you already have it. It's an answer to that given you when you're born again. And so then it says, so for this is thankworthy. And we'll get to another word in a moment. It's the same, it is the same Greek, or the same base of the Greek word that this thankworthy is here. Now, if I have a text, a verse that is my subject, it's that 20th verse right there. So he goes from talking about servants being subject to your masters and all, and suffer and grief and so forth there for the crooked or the good and gentle master, to more general here. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? So, what glory is it? That word, glory, is the same term, as, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but, so in this, and we can, read, buffeted, number one, just the meaning behind that is to be wrapped with a fist. We know what that means and all. It's also to punish or chastise for something. You're punished or chastised. So if we're punished for our faults, we deserve that. If a child or otherwise a grown-up is punished for anything of what they did, for committing sin or an act of aggression, something like that, if they're punished for that, well, what glory is it in that? Now, I'll move along. I'm going to come back to a couple of that word glory in a moment. The rest of the sentence here in this 20th verse says, but if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So you do it. You don't deserve. You do well. You're doing fine. You're trying to do good. Yeah, everything's. You're doing what's acceptable in the sight of God, pleasing to Him. And that's what this acceptable means. Gracious comes in here. But God takes pleasure in your doing that.
Right. Amen.
You're suffering, same suffering. You're being punished for something, but you do well. You're doing good. You're actually leaning toward that spiritual nature and not the human nature. In reacting to something, you don't deserve whatever punishment you're being given, and it's acceptable. That's the same Greek term as thankworthy, acceptable with God. It's pleasing to Him. We should desire that. We should want to please God.
Yes.
That goes against all of my human nature to do that. That's not how I want to respond. I respond in anger. Quickly. We were talking about this morning, sometimes, you know, as quick as you take, you don't even have time to take a breath, and some word comes out, you know, some anger or a wrath towards someone, rudeness or whatever it is, and that's not doing well. So it is difficult, but to stop and take a breath and remember how and remember who we're talking to. One of the saints of God that Jesus Christ died for. Now we don't we judge by according to the fruit of the Spirit. Their fruit when they we have some judgment that they are good. And I see that all the time, not just in the church, but out in the world we see it. I've talked about that before. That's reassuring to me. And I believe that's a blessing of God, that He blesses us to meet these people that reassure us and give us strength that they are blessed in this. But if ye, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. I don't take it patiently either way of those. I don't take it patiently. But I do so many times. It is so clear of that first part that I know I'm being punished for something, for this or that. Whether I've lost my temper, whether I've neglected to serve God with my whole heart and seek Him. But I would rather act in a thankworthy and acceptable manner. Now, if we are not successful in acting out this 20th verse there, our eternal home in heaven is secure. There's a couple of songs we sang today was for that unending eternal love of God Almighty for us. He loves us the same. And I tell you what, a parent is not going to chastise their child, punish them for something, if they don't care about them or love them. We do that to raise them in a way they will also understand those things and grow in that love. But it's in love. It's in the love of Jesus Christ that we do that. It's not out of wrath or anger. We see that as well. That is not right. But it's out of love. But we're taught to do that. Moving on here in the next verse, 21. For even hereunto ye were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So the Apostle Peter In this inspired word, he didn't even give a verse to lead up to this example of Jesus Christ. Well, here, think about the Apostle Paul and do good, do well, and all that. No, he went right to the example of Jesus Christ. And that word example right there is the only place where that word is used in the 21st verse. But Christ is our example. That's who we look at. If I base it on someone else, then they may stumble and fall as well. Yes. Even if they don't do it as much or as often as I do. And yet I can't help but look at good people and follow after them. But like the Apostle Paul, if they stop following after Christ, then I don't need to be following after them. But Christ is our example. Now, when in that 20th verse there, the first half, the statement, and I won't reread it, you know, buffeted for your faults, or the second part, if you do good, what faults and sins did Jesus commit where he would have been deserving of punishment? Not one. He's impeccable. He is perfect and righteous in all ways, yet he suffered. For us, he took our sins upon him. There's our example. He didn't deserve any of that. There's the unfairness in it. Not that God chose a people out of all of the race of Adam, but that Jesus Christ had to die for someone else's sin. And he did it. And he was successful in that. Now, that word called right there in verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called. That word called is the same word as that word glory back in the 20th verse. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. And I think of glory as this fame and the word renown is within the definition there, but also it's a calling. It's a designation. It's a name, calling you by name. What name do I want to be called? But this calling has brought us, and certainly it's a call to service to God. We should do that, which is acceptable with God. We're to do that. Not to gain anything eternally, but because we have it already. That's enough. But I cannot help, and I don't think it's wrong to see the visible or material blessings in our lives when we do well. I want to give God the praise for that. People mention that from time to time. You know, we have thankfulness for what God's done for us. We need to thank Him for that. Literal things. Physical things, actions, things that, again, how much do we avoid that we're not even aware of because of God's mercy and grace? Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. That's whose steps we should follow in. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Christ was always committed to God, his Father, God the Father. He was always committed. He came to do his will, and he performed that there. So he didn't, in the 23rd verse, so many times, I cannot do that. I had to fight to do that. When reviled, reviled not again. Suffered, he threatened not. But commit ourselves to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Being dead to sins. Prior to being born again, we were dead in sins. Being born again, and I know we were crucified in Christ and with Him there. We died then. And this now that we're dead to sins, death is a separation. And those separations are so difficult. When we think of our loved ones or those that we see around us that things happen to and they're separated, we don't mourn for those who have gone on. I just want to see what they're seeing. I want to experience what they're experiencing, and I will one day. That's the firmness of my expectation that I'm a child of God because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Firmness, and so I can be successful in that in that 20th verse right there. I can do that because I have that same power of Christ because he endlessly loves me. He didn't just love us at Calvary on the cross and die for us and that was it. No, it's the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we are dead too since we've been separated from that. Let me get one more verse and I'll move on. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. capitalized, shepherd and bishop. That's Jesus Christ. He's our shepherd. He shepherds us like no human pastor can do it because we're full of faults and sins. I have this thought, and I haven't already have an answer to my question. How can the gospel be preached through and get through this veil of sin that I have upon me, that every minister has upon them? Well, the answer to that is through the power of Jesus Christ, because the gospel of Jesus Christ and God the Father will be preached. It will be in spite of us. So we must set ourselves aside and get past that, because Satan will use us and our sinfulness and our true, sincere humility to wreck the gospel. Satan can do that, but God won't have it. He won't have it. He's going to have his gospel preached because it's glorifying to God. And we are to grow. Let me go to 2 Peter, the final two verses of that letter here. 17th verse of the third chapter of 2 Peter. A few pages over. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That means we have steadfastness. We fall from our steadfastness that we already have. Let's stand on that. But it continues here, next sentence. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, the more knowledge we have in Him, the easier of 1 Peter 2 and 20 that we can follow, the easier that is to follow. Grow in that grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now I'm going to go to Psalm 116 and get a few verses here as I've been getting to wrap this up. So that the second epistle of Peter there in those last couple of verses tells us how it helps us. God gives us help to do these things. As always is said, God's not going to tell us to do something if we cannot do it. He didn't tell us to save ourselves from our sins, because we couldn't have done that. Jesus Christ had to, sacrificing Himself. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. So many times I thought, I don't know if that's true right now. Is He inclining His ear? I don't deserve Him to incline His ear to hear me, but He does. Because He knows us, His omniscience, His all-knowing attribute. He already knows what we do, and He does not predetermine those steps that we make in our lives, but He knows all. He does not forget anything. He chose to remember our sins and iniquity no more. He chose not to remember those. He didn't forget them. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to do that? But we're so often in the shape of David here, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Don't you let Satan keep you from praying, as Brother Roger was encouraging us to do. Pray, and you pray believing with steadfastness that God will answer those prayers. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So many times I look for it. Sometimes we find it, and we're not looking for that. And then we need the same steadfastness and all that. Then Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. There's a prayer for you right there. You want an example, a model prayer? There's a model prayer. We all know we have one that Jesus taught in the New Testament. But there's a prayer there. I beseech thee, O Lord, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Sometimes we're brought low. Even in our sinfulness and wickedness, we're brought low. And then we're brought back to him. And we're shown his love again and his mercy. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. So many times our souls are full of unrest and chaos. Typically for me, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and everything is so much worse. I don't understand that, and maybe that's why I go ahead and get up. I'm not going to lay here and do this. Go in and pray to him. Read Psalm 116. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He sees the bountiful blessings of the Lord God Almighty. We should see that. We see that certainly in the church, in his mercy and his grace. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He sees that the Lord's done that. I think to myself, certainly thou hast delivered my soul from death. Sometimes out on the freeways, I think about that. Mine eyes from tears. I think he saved me from some tears. But then other times, I have tears. And it's not always tears of joy until I'm made to remember the bountiful mercies and grace of God Almighty. When I think about a little child, 3 years old, should not have to ask, where is my daddy? Where is he? And an answer that was given this week, I believe, by her mother was, he's working on a project with Jesus. How do you explain these things? You all, some of you have had these experiences in your lives. I cannot imagine. But God gives us the blessings to get through that. And then we're made to realize where they are, where this loved one is, whether it be your father or mother, a child. You know where they are. I just want to see them again. But when I get there, I don't think I'm going to be looking for them. I'm going to see Jesus Christ, my Savior, there standing at the right hand of God. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. That's what we're brought down to. I'll close with the 12th verse. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render? It shouldn't be what all that I typically render. It should be what is acceptable to God. And to be thankworthy, graciously accepted works here. Because another indication, manifestation that these are children of God there in 1 Peter, the second chapter, down there, 20th verse and so on, is that many of the words there are gotten, they were derived directly from Galatians 5 and 22, the fruit of the Spirit. They have to have temperance and patience. If you have those, then you have the fruit of the Spirit. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now.